Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome to the, I'm going to call us the official Grey's Anatomy podcast. We're not, but I'm calling it that. We are a deep diving podcast going through all the episodes of Grey's. We're currently in season 17, episode 12, 13, and 14. So if you haven't watched through there, as well as partway through season 19, then I recommend you go back and watch that first so that you aren't spoiled by anything.
Yeah. If you want to support us, you know where you go. You become a patron at patreon.com/theoncallroom. There you can be an intern, resident, attending, and you get so many fabulous things for supporting us. Abby, what do they get?
They get access to our private Facebook group, which is really fun and really active right now with the current season on. You get bonus episodes. We did one this month on our reactions to Meredith Grey's leaving Seattle. You also get something called Post-Op, which is the after we call time of death, we keep recording for about 5 to 10 minutes. Today's topic is about Levi and his surgical abilities, as well as his relationship with Nico. So everything that happened in these three episodes. So if you want to hear about that, make sure you are a patron. And as always, thank you so much for your support. It's truly the only way we can continue to do this, because turns out, you know, putting out a podcast is not free and it's a lot of time, and we do it for you all because we love you so much. So thank you.
Another wonderful way that you can support us is by leaving a review. I have a review to read today.
Oh God, is it good or bad? I always get nervous.
It's a good one. It was really, I read it last night and I was like, oh, I feel something.
Oh good. I could use that.
Yeah. So this is from Kels 4390, and it says, long overdue 5-star review. Grey's is and has always been my comfort show. Similarly, The On-Call Room is my comfort podcast. I truly feel like in another life, Bree and Abby would be some of my best friends. I loved rewatching the show while following along with the pod. Even the more recent seasons are made better by hearing these two women walk through it. Just as the fact check is my favorite part of Armchair Expert, I look forward to hearing updates on Abby and Bree's adventures. They make me laugh weekly, have made me cry many times, and I can't thank them enough for riding this out until the bittersweet end. Girls, please know that when Grey's finally decides to pull the plug, your listeners would love to follow along for any other adventures you care to share. We genuinely love you and your families and consider you friends. If you are 30-something and love Grey's, start your next rewatch with The On-Call Room.
That's incredibly kind.
I know. I got like GGB's teary-eyed reading it last night, especially the part with like, if you want to share your adventures with us, we're here to listen. It's like, thank you. That's so kind.
I know. I think we sometimes worry like, oh, you know, the majority of people I think just are here for Grey's content. But like, ultimately, what I think is beautiful about podcasts is that you can choose whether you want to listen or not. There's no enforcing this on you. And so like, if you just want to listen to us gab about life, like that, there are some people out there that actually enjoy that. That brings me joy because that's my favorite part of the podcast.
Yeah, it's my favorite part too, especially in these later episodes or seasons of Grey's. There's some less than ideal episodes to talk about. And so it's just really fun getting to chat about our lives. So
right.
Thank you, Kels, for acknowledging that.
Yeah, thank you so much. That means a lot to us. But as always, if you don't care about us, you can look in the show notes and we tell you when the Grey's Anatomy content starts. So, you know, we got it both ways.
Yeah.
And we set a reviews. You can leave those on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you listen. We love it so much. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. I'm feeling very tired right now. Great way to start a podcast.
What time did you wake up? Because I knew you weren't awake when I was texting you this morning.
Well, I did see it, but I was like in and out of sleep, you know, so I was like, I'm just not going to respond. And then I think I got out of bed at like 9:30-ish.
Okay, that checks out.
Yeah. I don't know. And then I've been watching reruns of Broad City this morning because I just needed a giggle. So
such a good show.
Yeah.
My favorite line from that wedding is, oh my God, why can't I think of his name? The dentist, Alana's like boyfriend, you know, what's his name?
Oh, fuck. What is his name?
Sorry about podcast ghosts. Either way, that line,
this is gonna bother me.
when they're trying to get to the wedding and he like ends up having to stay back by that truck or whatever. And he's like, the thing is, I like weddings the most. Like, I just like, there's like my, I don't know, the way he delivers that line. I remember that I watched that in 2020 when like I wasn't going to weddings anymore. And yeah. I posted that clip because I felt like that was me, was like, you know, the thing is, I like weddings the most and I don't get to go. I don't know. I love that show so much. They do like a, they do people being high so well.
It's so funny. I just watched the episode where Abby has to go to the DMV and she ends up like getting like a crick in her neck and she has to go to the chiropractor, and like Alana starts working for the Hillary Clinton campaign, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, that is crazy. And
she thinks that she's getting paid, but she's actually just volunteering. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, they're so, so funny. Good.
Yeah.
I actually loved too. I feel like it's rare that there's like a, you know, a character on a show that has your name that you also really like.
Yeah.
And so I remember being like, this is so great that there's like an Abby. And I loved everything to do with her soul cycle, or not soul, wherever she worked, the like, you know, like the biking thing, just like that whole storyline. And the guy that works there, he's in Hacks too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
He's, and I think so he is funny. So funny. Hacks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trey. So, I think his name is Trey. In Trey. The show. Yeah.
Okay, I think I need to rewatch Broad City.
Okay, are you more of an Abby or an Alana?
Oh, I think I want to be an Alana, but I'm definitely an Abby.
Yeah, yeah, I think I'm an Abby too. I want to be an Alana. I think there are soft moments in my life where I have Alana energy, but like I would say mostly I'm an Abby. So
I think your early 20s, you gave off a lot of Alana energy.
I think you're right. Yeah. And maybe, and they are in their 20s. So maybe I was more Alana that, because actually Alana ends up going to school for counseling. So maybe I am Alana. I just.
And like, yeah. And comparatively, you and me, like, I feel like you were the one in our early 20s that was like, let's go do this. Like, you were more adventurous than me. And like,
yeah, that's true. Thank you. Wow. Okay. I had some Alana energy. It's all shifted. And and like, I feel like, yeah, Abby, she was the artist. She ends up going out to like Colorado back to graduate school for art and stuff like that. Yeah. It's very you.
So. I would carry you out of a restaurant after I wrongly hit you with a.
Wait, no, that was Alana carried Abby.
I thought Abby jumped on the table. Oh, she did, stabbed herself. Yeah. Right, right, right. She stabbed herself. That's right.
That,
okay, okay.
I
okay.
think that is maybe top five, one of my favorite episodes of television ever.
That's the first episode I watched because you were like, you need to watch this show. And I was like, okay. She's like, but you were like, let's start with this episode. So we watched that first. And then we watched the Florida episode where they go and they like want to go live in an old folks home.
It's so funny.
God, that makes me really want to go to Florida and like be amongst old people.
Dude, one of our friends is in Florida right now and she's at Animal Kingdom. I'm like, you son
As
of
we
a
speak.
Bitch. Yeah. As we sit, supposedly there's supposed to be a big winter storm, but it's looking pretty chill outside today.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I hope it stays that way.
There's supposed to be like 12 inches of snow coming or something.
Oh, I can't decide what to do with my day because like after this, well, my house is a disaster. And what I really want for my birthday is like me to clone myself and have that version of me clean my house and the other version of me can like play Zelda. But like, I don't know what to do with my evening. Jake is going out with some guys after work and I like tomorrow night is when we're going out for birthday. And so I'm just like, do I spend my day cleaning or do I like, I'm getting like trip anxiety because I leave on Wednesday. Yeah. And so, you know, there's the responsible version of me that's like, if I clean my house today and do all my laundry, then like I can start packing on Monday, you know, no, not Monday. That's my birthday. I can start packing on like whatever and just like get ahead. But I'm also like, I don't want to be responsible. I thought about taking myself to a movie.
Oh, a movie. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Well, what if you just set like a timer on your phone of like when we're done recording for 2 hours, I'm going to be productive. And then whatever you get done. And then just leave the rest for later.
Yeah, that's true. I could like, I don't know about you, but when I'm like, okay, I'm going to clean. It's like, I put in my headphones. I put on my sneakers.
Oh, yeah.
And same. It's like,
it's we're like going go until time. We go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So also, I don't even know if there's any movies. I'll just go see Avatar again.
You know, about cleaning too, what's I don't know if you do this, but like, I'm sure we all have our ways that we like clean our home. Like we start with this and then we do that. We move to this room. But do you ever like clean so hard that then you're like, well, I need to find like other projects to do. So you like keep going to like a place beyond what you need to be doing. Because sometimes when I'm like in a mood, then all of a sudden it's literally like 9 at night and I still have my tennis shoes on. And I'm like, I don't know. I guess I got to like scrub out this cupboard right now. It's like that. It's insane. So,
yeah. And what's stressful is like I've done a lot of picking up and like light cleaning. What I really need to do is like the baseboards of my bathroom and like the like nooks and crannies of my fucking new kitchen don't look new anymore. You know, like there's like shit under the oven that I can see, but I'm just like, how do I get to it? I don't want to do this. I also don't have money to pay someone to do this. Also, I just laughed in my head thinking, what if I went and saw Magic Mike's Last Dance all by myself? Is that not the saddest thought as a single, not single, like an alone 33, almost 34-year-old woman going to see Magic Mike's Last Dance by themselves?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend you don't do that. I think find something else to do.
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Now that is something that we
could all get on board with. Why is it The Last Everything? It's Magic Mike's Last Dance and Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Are they all? It's because they're all getting too old.
But the character, the animated character,
Antonio Puss Banderas.
Oh.
I mean, isn't he still the voice? I would assume so.
I guess that's right. I guess people have to voice the animated things.
And Salma Hayek. And I think she is in Magic Mike. She is. She's got two movies out now with the word last in it.
Wow.
Anyways, so I don't know what I'm going to do tonight is my point.
Maybe you could watch Broad City.
Yeah, perhaps. So anyways, that's our lives. I don't know.
Not much to say. Nothing to report. Should we get into these episodes?
Yeah, let's just get through it, you know? It's this season is just, it's a different show.
It is.
It's just a completely different show. And so we're going to do our best to talk you through the important parts that happened and the things that stood out to us. And we'll just stick in there with us. All right. Reminder, we're talking about Levi and post-op. So if you want to hear about that, stay till the end. We're talking about season 17, episode 12, 13, and 14, Sign of the Times, Good as Hell, and Look Up Child. Do you want to read the first monologue?
Oh, sure. Excuse me. Yes,
we have
absolutely.
Three different monologue people.
What do you
in
mean?
This episode.
Oh, like, okay.
Richard, Meredith, and Jackson.
So this one is Richard Weber. It says, at the start of medical school, you and your classmates stand together wearing your lab coats for the first time, and you take an oath. The oath has many versions, but each boils down to this. The practice of medicine should be humane and kind. It turns out there's a catch they don't tell you about. Medicine mimics the world it lives in. And in this world, humanity and kindness are often in short supply. I remember that day that I first put on my white coat, even though it was long ago. I took the oath alongside my classmates, and I meant it with every cell in my body. But this world has challenged that oath so many times that I barely remember what it said anymore. So now, every day, I take a new oath. I pledge to help build a world worth living in and never stop believing that that world can exist. Not today, so far from today, but someday. Richard Weber.
Next one, Meredith. There's a moment I've noticed in the OR, especially when a patient is going south. You're working so hard, you lose yourself. All of your problems, your relationships, career goals, your fears, they all just fade away. It's not even you and your patient. It's you and yourself, your hands, your skill. You might call it muscle memory or being in the zone, but whatever you call it, it's rare. And you never want it to end. Those moments when everything fades away, you're at your best. But there's a problem with disappearing into the work. You can't save every patient, and if surgery is all you have, no matter how great you are, eventually you're going to disintegrate. As nice as it is to lose all your worries, you also lose the good. And if you hope to have any kind of life worth living, you're definitely going to need the good. Meredith Gray.
It's a natural progression in any profession for the student to become the teacher, the mentee to become the mentor. It's not that much different from parenting. We learn from our ancestors how to make the perfect soup, how to soothe an aching head or heart. We measure milestones and percentiles and first steps to try and gain insight into the person they'll grow into. As if knowing a bunch of numbers on charts is any true measure of what we might make of ourselves. No one said it was easy becoming the person you're meant to be. It takes bravery to step into the power you found and earned and deserve. The trick is to take the people who were there for you with you to remind you you're not alone. Does that sentence make sense? Whatever. You have an entire legacy behind you as you create your own, Jackson Avery.
Okay, shotgun workup. We've got Meredith Gray, COVID-19, filling defect, clot.
Cormac Hayes, scalp laceration.
Nell Timms, impaled object, non-expanding hematoma.
Reese, laceration.
Guy Houston, blunt force trauma, commotio cordis.
Chad Anderson, COVID-19, deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolism.
Felix Pelgado, meningioma.
Eric Swift, tibia fibula fracture, rectus sheath hematoma.
Luna Ashton, prematurity.
Harriet April Kepner, RSV.
Jackson Avery, hand laceration.
Ugh.
Okay, rounds, here we go. The episode Sign of the Times takes place on or shortly after May 26, 2020. It follows up on the Station 19 episode, Here It Comes Again, which takes place on May 25th as it shows the firefighter crew watching a news report about the murder of George Floyd. The resulting Black Lives Matter protests in Seattle are depicted in this episode. Many of the injuries that come in this day are results of the protests, including but not limited to Cormac's head laceration, a woman named Nell who was impaled with a tear gas canister, and a man who was hit with a rubber bullet. Richard and the woman Nell talk about all of the protests that they have marched in throughout their lives, which causes Jackson to question his mother as to why they have remained in the safety of their jobs and not been out on the streets trying to make change. Catherine assures Jackson that she has been fighting her own battles within the system, but Jackson is frustrated that it's not enough. While all of this is happening at the hospital, Winston is driving to Seattle and gets pulled over by a cop. He is on the phone with Maggie, but the cop makes him hang up the call. Maggie is terrified, but has to continue to operate while under this stress. When he is finally able to call her back, we find out that the cops made him get out of the car, remove his mask, empty out his entire vehicle, and do a DUI test. He's incredibly shooken up, and it's an emotional reunion when he makes it back to Seattle.
Bailey has to work with a patient named Chad Anderson, who is a COVID denier. He's convinced that it's a scam and tells that to Bailey. He ends up testing positive and has signs of a blood clot, but he continues to berate Bailey and tell her that they must be getting a lot of money from the government for continuing to diagnose COVID-19. He ends up discharging himself and dying on his way out of the hospital.
It's because his name is Chad. Just kidding.
I know
all the Chads out there.
Well, honestly, but I felt like, did they choose that name on purpose? That's what it felt like.
Sorry if your name is Chad.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I feel bad for good Karens in the world.
Yeah, Karens. Yeah. My sister-in-law's name is Karen.
I was going to say, you have one in your family. Yeah. Okay. Meredith has been staying stable, but has not woken up yet. They ran some tests and found out that she had a clot inside of her liver. Teddy was worried about performing the surgery alone, so she asked that Winston help her since everyone in the hospital is family to Meredith. The surgery was successful, but Meredith was still not changing or waking up. Winston asks Richard if he can do a crazy idea, and they invite Zola to come into the room with Meredith and talk to her. They ask Zola if she wants to. She says yes, and she comes in full PPE to talk to her mom. On the beach, Meredith is talking to Derek and fantasizing about a wedding on a beach that Alice has drawn pictures of. He asks her to promise him not to torture herself anymore. Ultimately, he tells her that it's not her time yet and she needs to go back. Zola continues to talk to Meredith when she finally wakes up and tells Zola that we love you so much.
Joe is still determined to switch up her specialty to OB. When she first approaches Bailey about it, Bailey's initial reaction is a definite no. She says that she needs all the surgeons she can get right now and it's not the right time. Then after working with a patient who discusses how the pandemic and COVID-19 can be a time of transformation, she decides she doesn't want to deprive Joe of any job she could be feeling or joy, any joy. She brings Joe back into the office and allows her to switch jobs as long as she promises to love every second of it.
Levi and Nico are still sleeping together when Levi tells Nico that if he carves out a small spot in his home for him, it doesn't mean they're going to get married or that he will never leave. Inspired by this talk, Nico invites Levi to move in with him officially. In that moment, Levi runs away from him, citing Joe as the reason why he needs to leave, when perhaps he is questioning his relationship.
In a very Jackson-centric episode, we see where Jackson's character comes full circle. Starting the show as someone who denied his last name as an Avery, he ends his arc by telling his mother that he wants to take over the foundation in hopes of bringing racial equity to medical care. In an attempt to try and gain answers as to why his father left, he visits his dad in Montana one more time where he finally voices his frustration with growing up without a dad. He also spends an evening with April during a thunderstorm where he helps care for sick Harriet and pitches the idea of April, Harriet, and Matthew moving to Boston with him. He ensures them that the foundation will help them find jobs and make sure they are taken care of. It's not until morning that we learn from April that her and Matthew have broken up and he's currently living in Philadelphia. She tells Jackson she is ready for new horizons and she and Harriet will move to Boston to be closer to him.
What's your first note?
My first note is, oh, I really like this song. And then I said Jackson is running and sees a protest. And then my next note is Richard is going to the protest.
Yeah, I really liked right away. I think in the beginning there was a quote. I don't remember who says it, but they say, I think it might have been Richard. It says, these moments save lives, too, in regards.
That's
to
Richard.
Protests.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's Richard. Yeah, I thought that was like, honestly, a really great line to like literally sum up the entirety of the episode. Mm-hmm. That like saving lives, there's many ways to do that. And, you know, not everyone is a surgeon and can save lives that way. And like, just the way that he phrased it, these moments save lives too, I thought was really interesting. I have a question. Has Grey's ever like outrightly taken something from the real world news and put it in the show? Like, I know they've reenacted sort of things with like different names, but like what that...
You mean with George Floyd?
Yeah. Like, have they ever done that before? Like, do they mention president name? You know what I mean? Like, have they ever taken something from like... I just felt like they would do like an SVU where they like change the name, but they didn't. And so I wondered, have they done that before?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think when Derek works with the president, you know, with those censor things. And I don't think they, I think that was when Obama was in office. And I don't think
they name him.
Uh-uh. I don't think they do. So and like any like, like VIP like patients are made up. They might be based on something, but they're always made up.
Right. Or like even like worldwide events, you know, that have happened on the show have always been in the fictional world of Grey's. So I thought it was interesting and obviously very purposeful that they did not make this about a fictional character who was killed. They made it about an actual human being in our real world who was killed. So I just thought that was interesting because I didn't know if they'd done that before.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I didn't think about that. But yeah, I think you're right. I think this was the first time.
I just like shout out to the actor who plays Winston.
Yeah,
I felt like his acting was phenomenal.
I agree.
And Maggie in that moment, I just felt like that was really well done and really reflective of like just a real situation. And so I'm sure it was like incredibly hard to act, you know, that out and just like, but I felt like he really crushed it. He was really, really just brought a lot of emotion to that storyline.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this season is complicated because I think that some of the acting doesn't land. So maybe the storyline is like really powerful, but then it's like, or the writing just isn't really that good. So you're right. Like, that feels awkward. Whereas with that scene in particular, I felt like it was like he did an incredible job. Like you said, I'm just agreeing with you. Like him and Maggie both did an incredible job. So,
yeah, I would even say like, and like, okay, so every aspect of this storyline in particular and all in like everything, the protests are all very important. That being said, I still think there are times when like the writing and the acting don't necessarily like make it so. I feel like it like cheapens it almost. And so for me, like Cormick's whole thing, like with his kid, like I was just like, there was just so many lines that just felt like that the writers weren't even trying. Like I feel like we love Grey's, especially when they make us think about topics because they're writing it in a way that is taking something from the real world and putting it into the Grey's universe where it's believable with these characters. And I just feel like a lot of this is like, oh, we saw this in the news. We're going to put it word for word in here. Even the COVID denier was like completely non-believable to me. I know there were people like that and like, but it was just was like, it was so, oh God, what is the word I'm looking for? Like, I don't know. It was just so checkbox, you know, just like, oh, we put a COVID denier in. I don't know.
No, I agree with you. I think there is, you know, with the Cormick thing too, I think what ends up becoming really complicated while you were talking, I was like, wait, this might actually be the issue with the writing. Okay, hear me out. I'm going to go into my theory here.
Okay.
So none of these doctors, maybe besides like our original cast members, like Bailey, Richard, Meredith. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess they'd throw in like Amelia and Maggie and stuff in there too. But like.
And Jackson.
Maybe. Yeah. But they like don't have relationships with each other, really. And we don't mm-hmm. see the development of those relationships. They've just kind of been brought onto this show. So like Cormac's just kind of been brought on, and like there haven't been any like scenes where he like his character deepens with the relationship with another character. So when right. they write these lines, it's like they're not talking to anyone. Like, it's mm-hmm. not like a conversation happening between people, like with Old Grays. And I know, I feel like they didn't write this way with Old Grays because they weren't making like blanket statements about things. But there was, I think about, for instance, like the episode with Mayor, with the person from prison. And
yeah,
and like the topic of, you know, is it corporal?
Not corporal punishment.
No.
You're so dumb.
Oh, my God. I literally, the only thing coming into my head is die by suicide. And that is not what that is. Why can't I think of what it's
called? Lethal injection? But that's one type. But what's the word? What is the word? Oh my God.
It's so early. It's not even that early, but my brain is not working.
What is that called? Capital punishment?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. Oh God. Okay. Wow.
Now I feel like
I feel like I was really like on a good one there and then just like sounded like a total Anyways. Idiot. Sounded like a total idiot. It's fine. So like there was nuance in that story, and it was between like Bailey and Meredith talking about it, and then Derek getting mad and Christina getting mad and coming in, and there was mm-hmm. like talk around the topic. And I don't know how they would necessarily do this with like the protests and Black Lives Matter. I'm not saying like it would be the same thing, but what ends up happening is these characters, we don't have any connection to them, and then they are like pretty much like using another character that they don't have a relationship really with to like spew like specific statements, and it doesn't feel authentic or natural.
Yeah, no, I agree too. I also feel like, okay, a lot happened in 2020, like a lot, like pandemic aside, like if yeah. they had just, I know they chose to include COVID in this season because of, I mean, that's literally what doctors, it was like the biggest thing that's happened to the medical field in years. But even if, let's say we took COVID out of this season, they're still tackling 8 billion world social topics.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And so it's, I do think it's just, we are being overloaded with like a multiple issues all at once. You know, mm-hmm. like a COVID denier could be one episode to me. And it's thrown in with multiple other things, along with like Meredith being in a coma, kind of, you know, there's just a lot happening. And so, I don't know. It is what it is. And the season, I'm sure, it was wild with all they had to deal with. And so.
Yeah, it was. But they also didn't have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
like,
I feel like
right now we're like tiptoeing and walking on eggshells about like it's OK, everything. And because these topics really matter, you know, like.
Right. Right.
And they do matter. But like also, I think that Grey's Anatomy did a bad job. Like, I can also say that. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Oh, that's perfect. That is, yes. The topics matter are important, but Grey's Anatomy did a bad job at making them feel authentic and believable. And, like, they just felt like a PSA.
Yeah, there were, like we said, there were specific moments within there that, like, I think they did a good job. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. I just, like... And I think you're right when you said, like, this is a different season. I think there was, like, there's definitely a different tone to this season. And I wonder if we should try and by the end of this look and see if there's an article. Was Krista running the show at this point?
We'll have to look that up.
Yeah, because I just wonder if there's, like, a statement of just, like, we wanted to get certain messages out or something, because it
yep,
was like,
yep.
I just don't feel like they were really like pushing character development or anything.
I was going to say, I think what I missed the most in this season is really like big things happening within just our characters. Like I'm going to go on a limb here and say that like the Teddy Owen situation right now is actually the most intriguing to me. Like yeah. Teddy Owen, like Tom, like out of these episodes, the scene where, you know, Teddy needs to operate on Mayor and everyone's nervous about it. Are you sure you can do this? And then, you know, she asks Winston to help her. And then afterwards, when she's panicking that it didn't go right, Owen is there and that whole scene with them. And like he tells her to feel it, like yeah. feel the pain, like whatever. That to me, like that whole whatever was really well done. And I feel like I'm like, and it's because we've been spending a lot of time with Teddy dealing specifically with Owen and Tom, not with some outside force, you know? So
right.
I really just love the, what we love about this show, I think, are like the character development and the character interactions. And so when we get bits of that, it's good, you know?
Yeah.
I did love the idea that Richard has been marching all these years. I felt like that was a cool, like something that he's not mentioned before, mm-hmm. you know? And I feel like that checks in with his character and who he is. And mm-hmm. so I did like that part when he shared with the woman Nell, they were like comparing stories. And I do feel like, you know, Jackson being like, why haven't I done this, is also similar to like, remember that conversation Jackson and Maggie had a really long time ago about just like how different, like Jackson grew up in that, you know, well-to-do neighborhood. Like they just, I think that him questioning that is very on brand with him as well. Like, cause he always wants to make change and do things. And I think he would feel like, why did I miss out on this? You know, like why wasn't I exposed to this? And so, him almost like looking at Richard and being like, whoa, like you've done this. Why haven't I, you know, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting too. I also thought it was kind of annoying because how old is Jackson at this point? Like, mm-hmm. you know, Richard even says like, I got started late and then I get it. But like Jackson goes to his mom, like, why weren't you taking me? And she kind of pushes back, but it's like, Jackson, you're like 30 something years old now. Like you could do that yourself. Like, you don't need right. your mom. And I know that's like the journey that he is now on is like it recognizing yeah. that. And I guess like the point is we have to like go back in our past to be like question and seek to get to where we are. But just like
we're not supposed to think that like Catherine is wrong. Right. Like I interpreted like her pushback to Jackson as like she's fighting her battle. But it's not necessarily that it's bad, right? That's how we're supposed to interpret that?
That's what I thought, yeah.
Okay, because I feel like it's a little harsh of Jackson, like, her journey is very different than his. And so, like, to push against his mom and be like, you aren't doing enough, I think there is, like value to what Catherine has been doing. But I do think also that doesn't mean Jackson has to continue in the same way. He can do his own thing, which is what he's going right. to do. It is wild when I wasn't really thinking about this until I like read the notes and trivia and wrote the round, but like it is, this is Jackson. It came out after this that like he only had a couple more episodes left, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I do think him taking over the foundation, while it's not like my favorite character arc in the world, because it does kind of come quickly, it is a good character arc in the sense that like he started this show not wanting anyone to know his last name. And he ends it, you know, doing the opposite of what his dad did, essentially, like leaning into it instead of away. So,
yeah, no, I do. I think writing wise, like it did. And I think I even felt that way the first time I saw it, like, yeah, this makes sense that this is how his character leaves the show. Because, yeah, even his mom had, Catherine had talked to him about sometimes, you know, taking over the foundation. And before he was like, I absolutely do not want to ever
right.
do that. And so now realizing like, that's actually an opportunity for me to affect real positive change, yes. I think is fine and great. I think I was annoyed with him sitting in a tree and him hiking up.
Yeah, I always am. I still don't understand that as a part of his character. I know I should. And they've like done so much with it, but it still felt like it flew out of nowhere.
Well, I was just like, did he hike his way all the way to Montana? Like, that's what that like intro scene looked like. Cause he was like sitting in a tree and like wearing a backpack and it's like puffy vest. And there was like scenes of him walking. And then all of a sudden he like walks up to the Jefferson Tavern or whatever. And I'm like, so you walked all the way to Montana. That's what you're telling us.
Let's talk about the last episode while we're on Jackson. And I just want to say, I think the entire Montana portion could have been removed.
100%. I remember when it came out, like, I think I was texting you or maybe our friend Chris about, like, why are we making sandwiches? Like, it was hours of making sandwiches.
I hated his reaction when he cut his hand. Yeah. I don't know why his crying wasn't believable to me, to his dad. Like, I know it was all, like, big, important things, but I just felt like he's moved past this already. You know,
Abby, and I cannot tell you. I watched this last night and I cannot tell you what they even talked about. I have no idea.
I know. And I mean, I think it ultimately is what made him go to April and say, like, I'm not going unless you and Harriet come, you know, because his dad just left, sort of a thing. Like, he would never do that. But I didn't need to see his dad again.
No, although I did say, like, good casting between the grandfather and his dad. Think back a long time ago to when his grandfather was in the hospital. I feel like that was really good casting between the two of them.
I think his dad is Julia Roberts' brother or something like that.
I think we talked about that. Yeah,
I think we did. He's definitely. But yeah, so I can't imagine that man and Catherine being together.
No.
But I mean, his dad kind of ran away, you know, like his dad kind of like ran away from Jackson, ran away from the foundation, ran away from whatever. And, you know, that is maybe what he needed to do. But I guess it's like the whole point was like Jackson's going to do the opposite of that.
Yeah, he's not going to run away. But again, I don't know that we needed to go see that and talk about that. He could have, like, we knew his dad ran away.
Yeah, I did not need to see him cut his hand either on a meat slicer. And that part when Jackson's like, how do you use it? I was just so annoyed. I was like, I don't need to see this.
Again, why are we making sandwiches? This is a waste of my time.
That being said, I remember being excited about April being back. And I don't know if it's because she hasn't been gone that long, only two seasons. Out of all of the characters we've seen this season come back, and I'm even going to include Addison in future seasons when she comes back, Sarah Drew, probably because she was the closest to it and was just acting with Jackson, you know, like was so believable to me. Like, to me, that was April again. It wasn't some weird moment. Like, it really felt it like flowed, I guess.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I feel like we were texting last night about it. And I was like, honestly, April is one of my favorite characters. Like,
I know.
And even seeing her come back and then we get her again in, you know, I think in 18 briefly. And I just feel like it was the one thing that was kind of weird to me and whatever. It's just writing. But like the part where he's like, oh, we must always do drop offs at my house or the hospital. I was like, you've literally never been to April's house. Not once. Like, that's wild.
It's also wild that April's just like been there.
Yeah, I know, right?
Not that far away.
The other thing that made me really mad, and this is so stupid, was that huge tub of candles. I was like, no one fucking has this.
Same. I have a note about that. The burning the nun and then like what she brings out. I'm like, that's like what a wedding planner has.
I know. I was like, those fucking tapers are so expensive.
Like, or a haunted house.
Yeah.
I had one note. I was like, that child's thumb looks fake. This is not a real human. Like, I think there were some scenes where Jackson was not holding a real child. Like, there were obviously some where there was a real human.
Yeah.
But there was just one where I was like, that's not a real hand. There's no way. I did like the part when Jackson and April, I don't know who says who, but it says, why is our timing so terrible? Because, and then I just never figured out how to want the same thing at the same time. And I feel like that is like the crux of their relationship. Is timing. Yeah. And so, which I do love when they come back in the next season and they're holding hands and, you know, it's like, whatever. But I did like that they included that line.
How do we feel about the Matthew split up?
I actually ultimately feel that like April and Jackson ending up together is great. And like,
oh, I do too.
Yeah. So like, I'm fine with Matthew being gone. I still feel like his re-entry into the show was not necessary.
Yeah. Same.
Or it was fine for her breakdown with his, you know, his wife dying and whatever, but we didn't need him to come back, forgive her, and then propose. That's what we didn't need.
Yeah. And then for it to just be like, well, he actually never did forgive me, and so he left.
Right.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have done without that weird wedding and just led to this. So I liked that part. But I don't know. It was nice to see them, I guess. That was like my favorite part about this whole series of episodes. Do you want to talk about the beach?
Sure. Yeah.
I thought I would like this part more. And there were some, like, I don't know. I just, the beach seemed less cheesy to me when I watched it the first time in 2020.
Here's what I think.
Tell me.
It was really annoying when they like switched over into their marriage gear. And then like,
yes,
you didn't
I videotaped that scene because they laugh maniacally. And then all of a sudden she's in that outfit. I will post it to the Instagram because it's insane. Okay, sorry. Go on.
It is insane. What frustrated me was that the kiss was zoomed out so far. But the part that I do think that we got the GGBs is when he's standing behind her.
Behind her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's like kind of nuzzling into her like he did many, many. Like that's the closest we've seen them. And I did feel like there was like chemistry there.
Mm-hmm. And that line when he says, I even miss the pain.
Yeah.
I think that is important. I think, yeah, that's also happening in the episode where Owen is telling Teddy to feel it. Like, don't like, and so I think, you know, there's so much happening in 2020 that I feel like it's like this big overriding message of like, even though life is hard, life is important and good. And like, the only way to get through is to feel the pain. You cannot avoid it. You cannot numb it forever. You can maybe for a little bit, but then eventually you have to feel it. And so, and adding on to that, you know, like find the joy in things like with the Joe Wilson stuff. Like I feel like they're really trying to therapize us.
As viewers. Yeah. The other part that kind of gave me GGBs when Derek was walking away, like alone on the beach.
Yeah, that made me sad.
Yeah. It was like, oh, all right. It's not our time. But he's like happy, but he's also kind of looking back. And then he's just like alone again. And that's kind of
I know. Sad. I miss dreamy Derek in the beginning. Never thought I'd say that, but I do. Okay. I can't tell. Like, okay, there are many great child actors in the world that have like blown me away with their performances. Zola does not. I don't know what it is. I can't pinpoint it. I don't know if it's probably the writing, I should say, more than anything. It's never usually the actor. It's like the writing.
Yeah.
I felt a little cute GGB when they were suiting her up in the PPE.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The music that was playing and like this tiny little human in that outfit, like whatever. But then like as soon as she started talking to her mom.
Also, she went
in there and took her PPE off and I was confused. Yeah.
I was confused by that as well.
Yeah, I was like, what? They just spent so much time putting this on. Also, okay, this killed me. Meredith, like when Meredith wakes up, she like and realizes Zola's there. She has that really special line, we love you so much.
Mm-hmm.
But her eyes look so annoyed, like that her daughter is hanging on her. I just go back and watch it. And like, I'm like, what is Ellen doing? Like, she looks so annoyed and it just didn't match up. Like, remember her crying tears of joy when Alex is hugging her? They're not joy. They're horrible tears of sadness after she got like beat up. Like, yeah. I feel like she could have woken up and had this like extreme rush of emotion that her child was touching her, which has not happened for like ever. And instead it was like, meh, we love you so much. I couldn't do it.
I agree because we love you so much. Like the first we love you so much, I felt a little GGB because she said the we. But then she says it a couple more times. And you're right. It gets more and more annoyed. Like, we love you so much. We love you so much. And it's like, okay. I know you just woke up from like a coma thing. But like, and I don't know. Isn't it just so perfect that her daughter comes in and then she wakes up like, whatever. I'm not gonna. It's whatever.
Yeah.
The one part I did like with the PPE, I loved that her and Maggie were holding hands. I was just like, oh, her aunt's by her side, you know?
Yeah. The scene with Maggie and Zola having a conversation about the protests also. in the earlier part I thought was really good, and seeing her hug Maggie. You know, yeah. I don't love the yelling thing. That was annoying to me. But like, their hug was really beautiful. And any scene to me that they have bonding is really great. What did you think of Amelia's like rushing in? I mean, first of all, I felt bad no one told her that it wasn't because Meredith was dying. Like, yeah. Rude. Rude. But it was interesting to me, her response. Like, I need this year to get better. I need her to live. Or no, Teddy said, I need this year to get better. Amelia said, I need her to live. That felt like Teddy or Amelia's not well. You know what I mean? Like she like needs this. I don't know. Not well.
Yeah. That,
I don't know. I guess it's fish very important. I wrote, oh, it made me sad when she's like, oh, have you seen the last 2 years or whatever? And he says, it's harder watching you be lonely. So I feel like they were again setting us up for Meredith to be with someone, whether that's Cormac or obviously not. You know what I mean? Like, Derek essentially gives her his blessing.
Yeah.
Oh, and I liked when he said, like, you gave me everything I needed. Like, you told me I could go. Was that in this episode?
I think so.
Last week?
No, that was in this episode. Yeah.
Okay. I also liked that because it brought... Because that, like, was not easy for Mare to do, but it was obviously, like, the right thing to do.
The right thing and what he, yeah, what he needed to be able to move on, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about Joe?
Oh, wait. I have a line, or no, I'm sorry, that says, Jenilyn is going home. Who the fuck is Jenilyn?
Yeah, I saw that note of yours. I was texting Brie her notes last night because some of them were so funny to me. Like, the one that's like, what did you say about Zola? It was like killing me.
I think you I said
Zola's acting not good, not so good. And then where is the funny? There was another one that, like, I don't know. It killed me when reading your notes, because sometimes I'm just like, Brie is in a place.
Like, you can tell when I'm super annoyed. But dude, yeah, they're like super excited to like send Jenilyn home. And I'm like, this doesn't matter to us. I don't know who Jenilyn is.
Wait, also this. Here's a series of Bree's notes.
Oh God, here we go.
Owen losing his shit. Superhero stance or whatever. Wait, what is going on with Mare's heart? You hate weddings. What? Your notes are unhinged.
Clearly, I can't even use my notes in this recording.
Oh, yeah. I like this one. I didn't know how This Is a Pearl was made.
Well, Bailey explains how a pearl is made. And I was like, I didn't realize that. That's...
Oh, my God. Wait, Brie, you and I have the same note. So yours at the end of the final episode, you wrote, we got the robes, baby. Hell yeah. Talking about Catherine and Richard. And I go, oh, yeah, here's the scene with Richard and Catherine in their robes. We've been waiting for it for like years.
Dude, like that is how I want to live my life, in robes at a house like that, drinking coffee. Oh,
I hated that. Like, I liked when Richard, he goes, it's hard handing something over that you put your entire life into. And I was like, yeah, it is. And I hated that she was crying because she's never felt pride like this. I was like, ugh. I think it would have been more on brand for Catherine to be upset that the thing she's put her life into, like, she's done. You know, it's her time to step back. But no, she's crying because she's proud. And I didn't like that.
Yeah, if you see, my last note is, because that's...
That's what, because
I did, because that didn't quite land for me either. Just, that's not how I would have felt, but okay. Sorry, but you had asked about Joe. I don't know. I don't care. I'm like,
here's a question, a personal question. So that lady, you know, like, was going to quit her job and make peanut brittle. Did you have something in 2020, like a life transformation? Like, you know, I was going to open a dance studio. I was teaching dance online and I was going to quit weddings. So like, did you have like a thing?
I started grad school.
Okay. So yeah, but yours is like working for you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I had the thing, like, my transfer. Yeah. But I mean, I had applied for it before. So no, not really. Cause I feel like I had already set up to start a new thing. You know what I mean?
Did you get into anything that, like, was you'd never done before? Gardening? Or had you done that before?
I guess I gardened more. Yeah, because we had, yeah, that was a big thing because we had just bought the house and I never really done that. And I love that now. So I would say gardening, sure. But I never was like, I wasn't the person who like made bread or like, did I like worked on my house because we had just bought
the house. Oh, you worked from home too. You guys were like, you did work, right?
Yeah, I did work. I worked from home and.
That was so weird.
Yeah. And I remember, like, I would go to the grocery store, like, once in a while. Well, yeah, I remember, like, I would work from home. And then John, once a week, because John still had to go into work, we would go to, like, the grocery store or Home Depot or something together. And I'd be like, holy shit, I haven't left the house in a week. Like, that.
Right, right.
Was always such a weird feeling.
I spent it mostly playing Animal Crossings on my Nintendo Switch. Building a universe inside of there.
Do you ever play that anymore?
Go back. The music is like weirdly, not triggering. Like it's not, it doesn't make me upset, but like I hear that music and I'm like, whoa. Like, you know what I mean? Because I would play for hours all day long. It's lost some of its charm. Like yeah. I feel like I've played it. I think that's what I've realized about video games, which when I had them as a kid, I like never beat games. But like games have an end, like a lot of them. Like you beat them. And then, like, you're done with it. And I think, like, I've had to be like, it's okay that you don't play Animal Crossings anymore. Like, you built your house.
Cause it's like, you did your thing. In like, open world thing, right? Similar to like The Sims.
Yeah. Yeah. I also went to our moderator, Jade's castle, and she made me rich. She gave me so much money in that game because she somehow had so much and I didn't. And you need money to, like, make your house really cool. And so it's thanks to her. Like she had the coolest house, the coolest island, and literally gave me like a billion bells.
I remember you had a really cool house and stuff too. You showed me it once.
Thank you. It's very kind of you.
You're welcome.
There's roaches living inside of it now.
Why?
There's like little bugs when you go back to it if you haven't played in a while. All you have to do is step on them. But like it's like
ooh, I don't care for that. I don't care for that.
I know. And there's like weeds everywhere.
It's kind of like when I go back to Molly Ann and her hair is super long and she's like burnt down her house.
I miss Molly Ann so. Molly Ann to me is like Donna.
Yeah, Molly Ann is Donna. And, you know, I should probably check in on her today or something because.
Oh, I love video game day. I want to do it again. I want to play that British Bake Off card game again.
I want to play that again, too. And John never wants to play with me because he's like, you're better at it than I am. And that's why I want to play because I win.
I don't want to use my phone to do the music, though, because I finally got those songs off of my on repeat playlist. That was so stressful whenever they would come on when I was driving.
It's funny.
So, okay. Well, should we do...
I don't know. There's nothing else to talk about in this
episode. No, there really isn't.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, I'll start. This episode's title originated from the song Sign of the Times, originally sung by Prince.
It scored 4.98 million viewers.
All licensed music from the episode was sung by Black artists.
Cormac's house is shown for the first time in the series.
And probably the last. A life like this is the funniest note. A life like Dummy was made for Ellen Pompeo in the beginning of the season, so she would not have to film numerous scenes of Meredith just lying in bed asleep. If they used the dummy for the episode, Ellen has only done voiceover work for this episode for the scene where Levi hears Meredith's voice in his head.
And it looks like a dummy. I mean, it is like a good enough job, but it is definitely like, oh shit, that's weird. Bet that's a dummy.
Yep.
Okay, this episode's title originated from the song Good as Hell, originally sung by Lizzo.
The episode scored 4.81 million viewers.
It marks the fourth and final appearance of Derek Shepherd for the season. It's the first time that Patrick Dempsey is credited as a special guest star rather than a regular guest star.
Goof. Some of Meredith's abdominal CT images show a spleen while she underwent a splenectomy in Perfect Storm.
Ooh. Who knows that shit?
I don't know.
This episode's title originated from the song Look Up Child, originally sung by Lauren Daigle. It was featured on the season 15 episode I Want a New Drug.
Wow. I was thinking this song was played. I was like, they never do a repeat, but okay. This episode scored 4.93 million viewers.
After news of her upcoming appearance was shared, Sarah Drew was flooded on social media with questions about which episode would feature her return. She reached out to the producers of the show to ask if she was allowed to share the air date, which had been kept a secret before. She was given permission and she shared the date on her Twitter, accompanied by a photo of April from the episode. Oh, that was a dumb note.
Shortly after the episode aired, it was revealed that Jesse Williams was leaving with his last appearance in the following episode. We only get one more.
Oh, wow. This marks... Oh, is that when Tom leaves too? This marks the first time since Don't Fear the Reaper that Ellen Pompeo does not appear in any capacity. It's only the third time in the history of the series that this happens. The other instance being, who is he and what is he to you? Coincidentally, also a Jackson and April-centric episode.
Robert Avery reappears after his first appearance in Who Is He and What Is He to You? In an episode, he mentioned working on his own original coffee blend. In this episode, a news article appears on the big city success that it has gathered.
Oh, Catherine Fox Award. Richard and Catherine in robes.
I want to give, yeah, that, or I'll give it, I kind of want to give it, I know it was like one moment, but I kind of want to give it to Derek for making Meredith go back, because she wasn't gonna.
Great. Let's give it to Derek. I'm fine with that.
Although maybe she should have stayed on the beach.
I mean,
it was pretty awful when she was like, kids are fine. And Derek was like, not fine. Always. Yeah. Like,
there were kids are resilient. He's like, yeah. Oh, and then I felt sad that they made fun
when
of
they
Amelia.
Brought up Amelia. Yeah, yeah. And then they do that laugh where they go, ha, 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 ha. Wait, actually, I'm going to play it through my microphone.
Who she gets that from? My mother.
Okay, so Catherine Fox Award goes to Derek and
sure.
Richard and Catherine in their robes.
Perfect. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going to rate this a 5. I just.
You're giving it a 5? I'm giving it a 4, man. This was painful to get through, I feel like.
Okay, perfect.
Perfect. Great. Okay. Thanks for listening. Sorry, these are kind of bummer episodes, but if you want to hear about Levi, we have some things to say and some positive things to say about Levi and some shitty things to say about Nico. So if you are a $10 patron, make sure to stick around after we call Time of Death. We appreciate you.
Time of Death is 1220.
Beep.